coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who says, hey, if you think sitting next to Napalm Natalie at the finale is awkward, try sitting in between Richard Hatch and Sue Hawk. I'm Rob's sister, Nino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Here we are, final week before the Survivor merge of Survivor David versus Goliath. And we are going to be talking with my great friend Randy Bailey today on the podcast. We've got a recap podcast coming for Mr. Randy Bailey. No feedback show for Randy. We are back to talking to Randy here on the recap show. And I know that Randy and I have gotten off on the wrong foot so many different times, probably, who knows, 6, 7, 8 times. And he's gotten so mad and he's hung up the phone on me. And it's so embarrassing every time it happens. I hope, it's my great hope today, that we'll be able to get through this call without Randy getting upset with me. So Randy Bailey coming up today on the podcast. Feedback show with Ali Lasher on the way as well. Get your feedback questions in if you're listening to this on Friday. robinswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP for that with Ali Lasher. Of course, Survivor Know-It-Alls is up. And so is my exit interview with Lyrsa this morning, who was very fun to chat with. So go ahead and check those both out in your Rob is a Podcast feed. Of course, you can subscribe robinswebsite.com/iTunes. Before we get to Randy, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor. And before you start to tune out and get ready for Randy, let me just say that this is probably the sponsor that I think is the best fit we've ever had for the Rob Has a Podcast audience. And that is something that is called Hunt a Killer. It is a subscription box, and it's really, really cool because I know from talking with so many of our patrons and our listeners that there are a lot of people that love escape rooms that listen to Survivor podcasts. And this is like an escape room that you do in your house. They sent me the first box of this. It's actually a 6-month long subscription that you go through with the Hunt a Killer subscription box. And so you are getting clues every single month in order to try to catch a killer in this game. And it's super interactive. I was playing it a little bit this morning to get ready to talk about it here on the podcast. And Nicole came up and said, hey, what are you doing? I was like opening up all these envelopes and I had a pocket watch. And I told her, I'm doing an escape room right now. And she said, oh, well, can I do it too? And so now I put it all aside. Hopefully none of my kids touch any of the clues. And now we're going to work on this tomorrow. I can't believe that it even got my wife interested in this sort of thing. So you could play it together. You could play it with friends. You could play it on a date night. Over 60,000 people have joined the Hunt a Killer online community and have over 1,000 5-star customer reviews. I really think that so many of you guys would be into something like this. There's lots of pieces and things that you have to play with inside the box. It's interactive. If you're texting stuff, you're Googling stuff on the computer. Right now, for our listeners, you can get the Hunt a Killer subscription box. Go to huntakiller.com/Rob for 10% off the first box. They only accept 200 members a day, so take advantage of the offer. huntakiller.com/Rob for 10% off your first box. That's at huntakiller.com/Rob. See if you have what it takes to get inside the mind of a serial killer and solve the mystery. And I'll keep you guys updated on how me and Nicole are doing when we take on the serial killer. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring our next guest back to the podcast. He is a 2-time survivor and one of my all-time favorites and one of the greatest people to talk to about Survivor. Please welcome my great friend, Randy Bailey. Randy, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Oh, shucks for that introduction.
Yes, yes. Randy, very excited to catch up. How have you been?
I'm doing wonderful. Still teaching.
Yeah.
Still teaching and, you know, watching TV and that's about it.
How was your Halloween?
All I did was watch Survivor and cook a steak and lock the door and take the phone off the hook. So it was a great Halloween.
And did you dress up at the school?
No, I didn't.
What was the last Halloween costume you wore?
Shoot, I don't even think when I turned maybe fourth grade, I started just going as a hobo every year. I just get out a pair of ripped up jeans, and I never really was a big Halloween guy.
Really?
Yeah. I used to, I'm embarrassed to say this. I don't know. I think my mom had something to do with it. I went as a girl in like second grade.
This is interesting.
She really twisted me up. So lucky I turned out as good as I did.
All right, Randy, so much to explore, but let's just catch up a little bit on the Survivor David versus Goliath. You know, I follow you on Twitter. You seem like you have been following the season very closely.
I have. I actually, I've been watching. My normal routine is to try to watch as much as I can before I start drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in the first 15 minutes, something will happen that'll piss me off. So I have to start drinking early. And then the last half of the episode, I'm tweeting, live tweeting. And yeah, it's a blur. And when we decided I was doing this podcast with you, I went and did a rewatch this past weekend,
yeah,
of all the episodes, and it's a great season.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was such a good season. I mean, I probably saw half of it because, you know, in the first 5 minutes, something inevitably will happen. Like Probst will use his stupid voice, like, "Want to know what you're playing for?" Or, you know how he changes his voice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the loved ones challenge. It's like, this is all about love.
Playing for love.
Or they'll have Suri, mm-hmm, you know, go across a balance beam and trumpets playing, or Donovan,
yeah,
diving down 3 feet. You know, it's just something
that
stupid.
That was the last episode we talked about.
Was the Donovan episode?
Yeah. The 2 hour Ghost Island premiere.
Was it? Has it been? It's been that long, man.
Yeah, I think it was like February.
Anyway, I'm glad I'm doing this because I've got an appreciation for this series. This season, it's a great season. Mm-hmm. Great nutty characters.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm excited to get into all of this with you. Last night we saw Lyrsa being the last person voted out before the merge. Any thoughts on Lyrsa, Randy?
I was okay with her the entire season. I wasn't high on her. I didn't dislike her. I didn't love her. But when it got to her final words, I fell in love with her instantly.
Okay. So let me play Lyrsa's final words. I know you wanted to talk about them. Here is Lyrsa's final words on her way out the door.
Of course it sucks to lose, but do you want me to be honest? I'm really, really upset that I will have to sit next to Miss Natalie at the reunion and I have to go with her right now to Ponderosa.
You like that?
Oh, beautiful. I wish I'd done that.
Yes.
I wish I had thought of it.
Which part? Talking about not wanting to sit next to people at the reunion?
And as well as Ponderosa. Yeah, in Gabon, when I went to Ponderosa, there were only people there that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
In Heroes versus Villains, that wasn't the case. But yeah. But kudos to Lyrsa, great character. Kind of a you know, love the accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a mistake getting rid of her.
Yeah. Why do you think it was a mistake to get rid of her right before the merge?
She didn't, no threat at all.
So who was it a mistake for? Because there's only four people that were in that tribal council last night. So who do you think made an error?
I think the rock stars have a stronger bond than we think. Mm-hmm. I think Mike and Nick planned before the Natalie boot that Lyrsa was next. I think it was kind of a quid, yeah, pro quo kind of deal, saying, you know, you give us Natalie this time and we'll take Lyrsa next week.
Mm-hmm.
And But I was fooled. I was fooled last night with the edit. I thought Angelina was going home.
Okay. So you feel like that Mike and Nick, they're sort of the power brokers there. And they made the wrong move bringing Angelina to the merge rather than Lyrsa. Now, I'm interested in talking this through because I kind of feel like that Lyrsa And I know that she was compared a lot to Sandra in the preseason, but I almost feel like that Lyrsa, if she gets to the merge, I mean, Lyrsa, pencil her in. She's in the final five.
Yeah, just like Gabby.
Yeah.
And you heard it here first. Gabby is going to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabby gets one vote.
One?
One vote from Christian.
Okay, just one vote. You heard it here.
And I want you to write that down.
Write it down, everybody. Gabby, one vote finalist, and her one vote is Christian.
And yeah, I don't want to cover too much too fast, but I did a rewatch today so I could try to intelligently talk about the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison had a winner's edit written all over her.
Okay.
I did not notice it the first time, but the second time, my rewatch, my money's on her.
Okay, so we got so much going on here. All right, let's stick with the with Mike and with Nick first, and then we'll go and we'll explore everything that's going on with that Green Tribe. So,
please make sure we go back, and we've got to dedicate at least 15 minutes on Natalie.
Okay,
I am so disappointed that I was not the guest for Natalie's booth. I could have. The podcast would still be going.
All right. We'll get to it all. We'll get to it. I don't have anywhere else to go today.
Well, neither do I.
Okay. All right. So stick with me on Mike and Nick. So why do you think that they made the wrong decision then to bring Angelina with them?
Well, it's, you know, and I don't know who said it, but Nick said it. I think Nick said it in the tribal council. Wrong decision. One person's wrong decision is somebody else's right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as much as Mike was annoyed by Natalie, going back to last week, I think that was a bad decision.
Yeah.
And I know how tough that is to do when you're looking at someone that you can't stand and, you know, voting out somebody you like over somebody you can't stand. I mean, I was never able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I see where he's coming from, but that was, you know, that was not a mistake for Nick,
mm-hmm.
but that was a huge mistake for Mike.
Yeah.
Unless Mike and Nick have a final two deal,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, they may have. I don't know.
Now, let me just say for devil's advocate, I'm sure that Angelina is saying somewhere, what are you talking about that Mike and Nick made a bad decision? I made the decision that we're voting out Lyrsa, and I got those guys to vote out Lyrsa.
Well, if Mike and Nick led her to believe that she was making the call, that's a good way to play it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Mike played this round scared, where that he should have voted out Angelina, but he was afraid about what the other Goliaths were going to think when they got to the merge?
Yeah, I think so. But I like Mike says in a confessional in this episode, he's already aware that he's in trouble. He's put a target on his back by getting rid of Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
And who else did he get rid of? I forgot.
Natalia.
Right, Natalia.
Yeah.
So
he's
got an uphill battle for sure.
Certainly.
And I love, well, I don't want to sound like T-Bird. I was going to say I love Angelina. But I do like Angelina. I thought her move voting for Lyrsa last week, and I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself. You know, Angelina's not going to win this game. That's mm-hmm. obvious. But in fact, I bet she doesn't have 3 weeks left.
Yeah.
But she's smart. She's strategic. She's just not real savvy with the way things. And no one is playing their first time. You've mm-hmm. got to, you know, and I say this every time I come on the show. You've got to play the show. You've got to play the game. You've got to watch it on TV, and then let it settle. And then you kind of understand what's going on. And you get this with any newbie season.
Mm-hmm.
They think they got it, but they don't.
Yeah. Could you go on a little bit more about what you like about Angelina? You like her as a character, or you feel like that she is a good game player who the circumstances have turned against her?
I think she's No, I was talking specifically about jacket, you know, trying to get Natalie's jacket and, yes. and the vote she threw for Lyrsa. That was just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember that happening.
Mm-hmm. Do you respect that move? Is that something that you would have tried to have done?
Well, I was thinking about that because, you know, every season gets cold and I was thinking about it. I remember when we voted out Dan, he was wearing a full suit. Mm-hmm. He had and the thought never even crossed our mind to cannibalize his wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, great move.
Do you think that Jacket Gate has changed the game in some way in that? Do you think that, and Survivor 38 has already been filmed, so, but do you think that come to Survivor 39, do you think that survivors will then give articles of clothing away to the people that they like when they get voted out as sort of like, see this wool hat? It's not for you, Randy. I'm giving it to Jim.
Yeah, I think this is going to start a new trend.
Okay. Do we like it?
I do. I love it. You know, people are, you know, men are going to want to go on the show wearing just a Speedo. So you don't get
voted out.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was thinking back to Gabon, and Charlie was savvy enough about the game, mm-hmm. that he wore two t-shirts under his suit, his coat and tie. And he even gave one to me.
Yeah. When he got voted out?
No. When it was, you know, early in the game when we switched tribes and I was on his tribe and I was freezing, they put me in that stupid Hawaiian shirt that was like silk.
Yeah.
And which was freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie stepped up and said, "Hey, I got an extra t-shirt. You're welcome to mm-hmm. use it," which I did for the rest of the 30 days or whatever.
Now, do you feel like that what Angelina did, though, with trying to get the jacket, do you feel like did she expose herself too much in terms of that? We saw Nick talking about last night. Boy, if she's willing to do this for a jacket, what is she willing to do for $1 million?
Yeah. And you know that I think the producers saw that this jacket thing was just going to be pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
And every confessional, they were, you know, quizzing everybody about it and planning, you know, thoughts in their heads, you know, much like Cookie Gate in my season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in actuality, the cookie thing happened and it was done and it would have never been brought up again if it wasn't for the producers just hammering it out of everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that their job?
Yeah, that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they do a great job. And they did a great job with the jacket thing. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody did a great job with the jacket thing. Angelina did. Natalie was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Can I ask you a little bit about Natalie? Do you see any of yourself in Natalie?
Wait, what?
Natalie is, you know, a big character, and obviously she had her issues with getting along with some of the other people in the tribe. Was that somebody that you felt like you could relate to watching the show?
I don't think one molecule of my being relates to anything about Natalie. And to correct you, I got along fine with everybody in Gabon, with the exception of Sugar
mm-hmm.
and Crystal. So no, don't go there, Rob, so early.
Just don't go there. Yeah. I think Natalie was a lot of fun on the show.
Oh, she was. Okay. You change the subject. I'll allow it.
Don't you think she was fun too?
Oh, she was a blast. I wish she was still there, but I mean, it was amazing. How many survivors has there been in 20 years? 600?
No, not that many. I think it's in the high 400s. I was trying to figure that out with T-Bird the other day, and I gave out a number which was incorrect. That was like the total number of people that have been on seasons, but a lot of them like two times and three timers. So I think the number's somewhere in the 400s.
Yeah, well, if I had to rank them, let's say there's 450 total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would rank Bob Crowley 498.
498 out of 450.
No, my bad. I'm a math teacher.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 448. Thank you for the correction. Bob Crowley would be 448. Melissa McNulty would be 449.
Who went out to Fiji and then did not play the game.
And Natalie would be 450. You think the worst player ever. No, terrible at challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I was thinking, you're a Seinfeld fan. Do you remember that episode where George decides that every instinct he has is wrong?
Yes.
So the opposite must be the correct one?
Yes.
That's Natalie. Everything she does is the exact opposite of the correct thing to do. It's you remember the girl in the bar saying, and Jerry says, go introduce yourself. He says, you know. So he walks up there and he says, "Hi, my name's George. I'm unemployed, bald, and I live with my parents."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Hi.
Hi."
Yeah. "My uncle works for the Yankees. You want a job?"
So anyway, nothing. I would disagree. I can't say that. I mean, Natalie lasted, five episodes. How could she be the worst, Randy?
She only went to one. She went to two tribal councils, one of which she was voted out at.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason she wasn't voted out of the first was because Jeremy was so good at the game.
Jeremy was so good that they had to get rid of him because he was such a threat.
Because he was a threat. Yeah, he was. I really like Jeremy, too. It's a shame to see him go so early.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be great. And again, I hate to keep sounding like T-Bird, but I do, with the exception of Natalie, I like all these guys. Well, I'm not a big Christian fan. We'll get to that later.
Okay. Well, what did Natalie do that rubbed you the wrong way so much?
You know, my father told me a long time ago that you never have to tell anybody how rich you are, how smart you are, mm-hmm. how athletic you are,
mm-hmm.
because if they're worth it, they'll find out on their own.
Right.
And that is not something Natalie lives by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything I touch turns to gold, and it's, you know, I just was tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've known lots of people like that. And I didn't say women like that. I mm-hmm. said people, she, you know, completely delusional. And she carried her delusion mm-hmm. into all of her exit press. I'm like, I usually don't even follow exit press or exit interviews of anybody because I don't have time, but I had to tune into a lot of hers and she's still in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. She'll go to her grave thinking, you know, she was the only one that was incredible.
Let me go back and, you know, I'd like to take a look at what the guests are talking about before we do the podcast. And I saw, so on October 10th, Randy, you tweeted, "Not sure if Natalie is my favorite player of all time, or I hate her so much I want to see her taken away with life-threatening injuries in the chopper. Whatever it is, I can't wait to see what is next from." And then you used a, I'm not sure if this is her, at NC Cole Hour Weekly, # Survivor David versus Goliath, # Survivor. I think this is a different Twitter account. Maybe that's an old Twitter handle. So what did you landed on the side that you don't like her, that it seemed like you were up in the air?
It's definitely the latter. I'm no longer up in the air. The medevac with injuries is
tongue in cheek. You don't wish it. You don't wish ill will.
Right,
on
I don't. No. Not a lot.
Not
of people,
even the people that you played with.
No, as far as you know, I don't.
Yes. As far. But so what was it between the first episode and now that you felt like that she was too high on herself?
Way too high. And it's just, I mean, I've never, you know, we've all seen Coach and we've all seen Chris Noble, but no one has been so unaware mm-hmm. as you know, Coach laughs at himself. And so does Chris Noble mm-hmm. and Philip Shepherds. We've seen those, but nobody, I mean, I even listened to your exit interview with Natalie. "I'm sorry," or "I did something wrong" mm-hmm. is not part of her vocabulary.
Yeah. So you feel like she didn't own her failure here enough in the season.
Obviously. And you know, she still has it. Mm-hmm. And it's been, you know, what's it been, like 9 months since the show
was a long time. I thought she was great on the exit interview, Randy.
She was great because she was just as entertaining because mm-hmm. she was just as delusional as she's always been. And, you know, and I'm thinking
she had me cracking up the whole time, Randy.
But you were laughing at her.
No, not with her, Randy.
Okay. And, you know, I'm thinking, is she going to be brought back a second time? Probably.
What do you think? Yes.
I think she will. But, you know, I ask myself why, because if she's the same character, we're going to get the same result.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a funny month and it'll be over with.
Mm-hmm.
If she changes, you know, people aren't going to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, I hope she comes back.
Yeah. Well, what do you do if you're somebody like that, where you sort of have, you know, become a breakout character
according to you, I am somebody like that.
Okay.
Didn't you Okay.
Let me phrase that original question a different way. So you played in Gabon and had at least the person, you know, to the viewer, okay, here's Randy as this character. Do you feel like that? Is it the right move to really embrace that on the second time out? Or do you try to correct that perception and then play differently the second time out?
Probably. I didn't have to correct much, because mm-hmm. I knew a whole lot of people in season 20.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him pretty well. I knew, you know, Coach Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
More than that, I knew half of them at least, and they all knew I mm-hmm. wasn't Gabon Randy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even Gabon Randy when I was Gabon Randy, if that makes sense. And now I'm sounding like Natalie.
All right. Well, let's talk about this other green tribe, the Tiva tribe, that I know you're dying to talk about. Because tell me about Dr. Allison, because she has been somebody that she's really been painted with the invisible Dr. Allison, Purple Allison. And so you're the first person that I've heard say, hey, no, this is going to be the winner of the season.
Well, you know, she has had that one scene last night with, you know, with Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch it again carefully, you might come up with the same conclusion that I had. I mean, everything she said was just, you know, it sounded like a doctor. That's the only thing going against her, is she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But she her thoughts were so well thought out. And I'm the first one that's predicted her. I mean,
anywhere.
She has been, well, that'll make me a superstar if she wins. You know, she had even her moment on the very first episode where the first 10 minutes of the show, when they're on the boat and it's revealed that she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she did a beautiful job of downplaying, you know, that she, you know, made big six figures a year and was a physician. I thought it was perfect.
So is there,
we've heard no one say, let's get the rich doctor out.
Right.
So
last night we saw Gabby talking to her, and Gabby pulled her aside and said, hey, you know, I feel like that, you know, there's this boys club with the brochachos, and you're the only person that's reached out to me. And then, you know, we need to blindside Dan. And she talked about how he has this idol. When I watched the episode back again this morning, I noticed that she parsed what she said a little bit, where I kind of felt like that this episode was going to be leading to a blind side of Dan in this episode. But she said, I did too. Yeah. But then she said something like, you know, I'm good to go along with the, you know, Dan and John thing until it's time to blindside Dan, which maybe does not mean that she was on board for an imminent blind side of Dan.
Right. And it was clear that Dan is being set up. You know, he was saying, I've played a perfect game. I've got two idols in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that translated, I have two idols in my pocket. I've played a perfect game.
Right.
That means I have 3 to 6 days left.
Yeah. Randy, what are the chances that one of Dan's idols is going to Ghost Island?
Oh, you mean a future Ghost Island?
Yes, yes. You, Randy Bailey, you have just found Dan's two idols that he got blindsided on day 22 of Survivor David versus Goliath. Now they function as an idol canceller.
Do what I did the first time, throw it in the ocean. It worked out well that time.
How come the idol you threw in the ocean didn't end up on Ghost Island?
I don't know.
Did production fish it out of the ocean? What do you think?
Well, they could have you know, made a new idol and put some seaweed on it and some barnacles. And the real answer to it, the real answer to your question, even though there were some idols that went back farther, is, you know, there's a recency bias.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even though James's idols were even longer mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah. So, all right. You mentioned that you're not loving Christian. And I feel like most people so far have been very high on Christian. So
sure.
What is he doing that is bothering you?
That is so easy. What he's doing that is annoying me, he is imitating Cochran.
Muchacho?
It's, you know, they stuffed Cochran down our throats for 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they stuffed Rupert down our throats for 4 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And was it 4 or 3? Yeah.
He did appear on 4 seasons. I think it'd be hard to argue they shoved him down our throats in Survivor Blood versus Water.
5 if you count the Israeli version.
Okay. Maybe more to come.
I hope so. So no, I'm not. And let me put this disclosure out there. If any of the David and Goliaths are listening to this podcast,
I
hope not. I am talking about the character on TV. I'm not talking about you personally.
Mm-hmm.
I follow Christian on Twitter. I think he follows me. I follow several of these people. And if I say I hate you on this podcast, that doesn't mean I really hate you. I am trying to balance things out after T-Bird's love fest last week.
Did you hear T-Bird with Terry Dietz earlier this week, Randy?
I've listened to half of it on my way home from school today.
Yeah.
T-Bird
is the new booker for the podcast now.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
Good.
She's gonna...
And one thing disturbed me about that podcast because in your podcast with T-Bird last week, which I listened to,
yeah,
part of, I couldn't make it through the whole thing because she just loves everybody. She talked to, we've become good friends over the last few years.
Yes.
And she, and the quote she used about me was that I may have a rough exterior, but I have a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Terry Dietz on that podcast, the Brochacho podcast, she was talking about Jeff Probst and she referred to him as also having a heart of gold.
Yes.
And my heart of gold just sunk down to my balls. I have never been so insulted in my life as to be compared to
you and Jeff have something in common.
Oh my God.
All right. So for Christian, in terms of that, now he is somebody that you feel like that he is, being pushed on us too much.
Yeah, he's being pushed on us too much. And I think I'm also getting a performing vibe from him.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that is a professor and is so obviously bright couldn't be so silly as to say, what did he say last night? The brochachos were adorable or something like that.
That was the name of the episode. I'm not sure there was that moment where him and Dan and the mayor of Slamtown were, you know, feeding each other and talking about, you know, this brochacho alliance. And the name of the episode was Aren't These Brochachos Adorable or something like that. I felt like that was not a great thing for Christian and his ultimate popularity to have the episode called These Brochachos Are Adorable.
Well, I think that's a sign that Christian's days are also numbered. He's not going to go as deep as production wants him to go. So they're naming episodes after stuff he says. And
he's gotten a lot of episode titles, Randy. Do you read anything into that?
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. Last night's episode was called Aren't Brochachos Just Adorable?
One of his confessionals last night, he's talking about being accepted by the mayor mm-hmm. and Dan.
Yeah.
And he's comparing, he's saying he's an equal and he's fist pumping him and stuff. And I'm like, you know, Christian, you know, as bright as you are, hasn't it occurred to you that they're playing for $1 million? Of course they're going to be nice to you. They're not going to say, you know, get away from me, you dork.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point, Randy, that, you know, cause, that it's a good job for John Morrison and for Dan to say, hey, sure, let's make Christian feel like he's part of this group, and then he's not going to be, you know, working on trying to get rid of us, hopefully.
Yeah, all I got to say is it must be very simple to design and make robots. because if someone is playing the game of Survivor in its 37th season comes up with a novelty idea, let's be nice to the outcast, so, you know, they won't vote me out, or if I make it to the end, they may vote for me. What a great idea. Is it, you know, this isn't Borneo.
Right. Right. So, yeah. And this was something that I sort of stumbled upon when, you know, Jenna and Heidi were being like real nice to me in Survivor the Amazon. And then I said, oh, wait a second. Hold on. This is not real life.
Exactly. you know, and it's,
yada, yada, yada. I haven't heard from Heidi in 15 years, Randy. Jenna was a good friend. Jenna was a good friend. But Heidi might have just been nice to me during when we were playing the game.
Yeah, what a great idea. Let's instead of yelling at people, well, you know, Natalie took the opposite approach. She's just said,
yeah.
So
I don't care if we're playing Survivor. I'm going to, you know, talk to you however I want. Where these guys are saying, okay, hold on, but this is a game, Randy, that you have figured this whole thing out.
Yep. So we'll see what happens. But Christian's got 3 episodes left. Wow. At the most.
Okay. So you've got this whole season down.
Angelina's got 3 episodes left at the most.
Okay.
In fact, I'd say Christian, Angelina, and Dan are the next 3 boots.
Okay. So, all right, Randy, wow. You are calling your shots left and right.
It's what happens when I watch do a rewatch sober.
Okay. All right. So let's just talk this all through. Okay. So the winner of the season is Allison. Gabby is a finalist. She gets 1 vote. It's from Christian. The next 3 votes off in some particular order are Angelina, Dan, and Christian.
That's correct.
Okay. So what does that mean for the Orange Tribe? We haven't talked about them.
What's their name? That's Vuku. That's Vuku.
Vuku, yes. So that is Alec and Kara, and then there is Davey, Carl, and Elizabeth.
Right. Well, you know, as we saw in the previews, there is no Vuku is no more. As is Jabini is no more, and mm-hmm. Tiva is no more.
Yeah. Got a merge coming up.
Vuku tribe, Davey. I think Davey's going to go deep.
Okay.
He's been kind of invisible. He got some good airtime the first couple episodes, and he's been a little bit invisible. That's a good sign.
Okay.
I think he's well-liked. Elizabeth, with the exception of her little outburst last night, mm-hmm. I think is doing well. You know, she might sneak into that next 3 getting mm-hmm. booted also.
That's not good.
No, you know, because the scene with her back and the bamboo, that served no purpose for last night's episode. So mm-hmm. it's got to serve a purpose in the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, let me ask you a question about this, because if there is a blow up like that happens on the island. Okay. So that was drama, but maybe when we take a look back at the 39 day story of the season, maybe there's not a rift that ends up forming. Would we see that, or would they not show that on the show?
If Elizabeth wins, they wouldn't have showed the scene last night that
even
we got.
Even though it was stuff that's helping to build her character, and what she's overcome all this adversity where she, like 4 weeks ago, she couldn't even walk because of her back, and now here she is on Survivor, and she just wants to be comfortable. She's gone through all of this back pain that she's overcome.
I don't think, I mean, she presented it a little bit a little bit too whiny.
So you don't feel good.
And Alec, I like. Yeah. Kara, I like. And, you know, and what we were talking about with Christian, with the mayor of Slantown being nice to Christian. I mean, we can go all the way back to the episode the first 15 minutes of episode one with Kara and Dan, scene. I mean, wake up, Dan.
So if you're feeling like, okay, so so Dr. Allison and Gabby are part of something, that you, do you feel like that they end up working with the Goliaths that, or with the Davids, that Allison ends up being the one person from the Goliaths who ends up being with the Davids, maybe Mike White also?
What do you mean ends up?
Well, because if you're talking about how Angelina and Dan and Christian and Elizabeth are going out, that's sort of people on both sides. So there has to be a group that comes together that ends up sort of taking out all those people, right?
Yeah, and we saw in next week on Survivor, somebody said it. I don't know who said it. You know how it goes by so fast. They said something along the lines of David and Goliath is no more. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and that pretty much happens every season since Pagong.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's been a few Pagongings, but, you know, production does their best not to have them.
Now, Randy, I know we still have so much more to talk about with David versus Goliath, but I know that you were out in Vegas recently for the big, maybe the biggest reality star commingling event that maybe they've ever had, right?
Not the biggest reality star, because Billy Garcia was not there, and neither was Jillian. So,
well, it's a long haul for Billy to get out there. And, you know, Jillian's very busy with everything going on at the reality rally. But I mean, there was how many different people at the Vegas reality star bash?
There was a lot. I don't even know, but I think over 100.
Over 100. And they even got you, Randy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I caught wind that Corinne was going to be there like three weeks before, before the event. And, I contacted Corinne. I said, I want to go to this thing. And she contacted Peter, the guy that put it on. And she said, you know, send Randy an invite. He wants to come. And he said he already did. And I looked through my garbage and he'd sent me an email like a month before that I accidentally deleted or something. Right. I didn't know what it was. But no, it was a great time. I made so many new good friends.
OK. And are you a big Vegas guy, Randy?
Unfortunately, I am.
Oh,
I like to gamble.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I got up the first night I got out there real early. I got out there Thursday, and Adam Klein got in a few hours after I did. And we're the only ones there. We got in a day early and got to know him really well. Mm-hmm. We shared a room.
Yeah.
We did a lot of gambling the first night. We shared a room. Both of us being big fans, you know, we geeked out and stayed up till like 5 a.m. talking about everything, casting and the show. And I lost my mother to cancer when I was about his age.
Mm-hmm.
So we hashed all that out and got to know him about as well as you can get to know somebody.
Super nice guy. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chris Lavelle. I'm sorry. Chris Hammond and Brent Lavelle. That's a Freudian slip if I've ever heard one. Those guys are, after a day or two with them, it was like I'd known them all my life.
Right.
The greatest guys in the world.
Chris Hammonds, Brett LaBelle.
Brett is a maniac. Mm-hmm. Chris, Chris was portrayed in the show as pretty level-headed and mature.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is like a 9-year-old.
Yeah, he's a nut too.
He's like a rich 9-year-old. He rented the suite, this 4,000 square foot suite on the top of the hotel, and he had the whole thing to himself. And he put Brett over in the corner on a little couch.
Yeah.
Every few minutes, Chris would just say, I have never been more sure of something in my life. And he'd shove in about $700 or $800 on one hand of blackjack. And it was crazy.
And would he win?
Most of the time he did. Oh, okay. He left with a ton of money. And I didn't do bad either.
All right. Good job, Randy.
And then Tyson and Jervis,
mm-hmm.
they're crazy too.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson never played before. And he bought in for like $300 he'd get his hand dealt and he'd turn to me and Jervis and say, what do I do? And we'd tell him, you know, what the book said to do, whether hit, stay, double, whatever. And he worked his $300 up to about 4,000.
Yeah.
Betting $200 a hand. And I'm like, Tyson, if you lose two in a row, quit. Mm-hmm. And so he loses two in a row. What does he do? He shoves in $500 to get back to where he was. And yeah. long story short, in like 3 minutes, he's broke.
Yeah, don't chase it. You don't chase it.
Oh, man, was he chasing it. And Eliza and Brooke from Amazing Race, we played, you know, had a blast with them.
Randy, I heard you even met some Big Brother people, too.
I did. And with the exception of Scotty, what a bunch of dicks.
You know, Scotty was the one you liked.
Scotty was the only one with any manners.
Yes.
JC, dick.
You didn't like him.
Caitlin, dick.
Randy, that's my friend, Caitlin. Well, they just came out. They just came. That was like the weekend they came off the show.
They'd only been out, a day or two. So I will cut, you know, I will cut them some slack, give them the benefit of the doubt. Derek Levasseur, I met for the first time.
Yes.
Super, super nice guy, as you know.
Yes. Okay.
I met some Naked and Afraid people. It was a great time. The fan in me loved it.
Good. Well, Randy, I'm happy to hear you have a good experience like this.
You sound surprised that I can have a good time.
Oh, I'm just happy to hear that you made new friends. Is there anybody from this season that you're hoping to see in Vegas next year?
I'd like to see the mayor of Slamtown. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see them all, except Natalie.
To be fair, but the mayor of Slamtown's probably not going to be hanging out at the... You know, Survivor, you know, Big Brother, Vegas reality star bash.
You never know. You never know. No, I'd like to meet them all. I'd like to meet Lyrsa. I'd like to meet Nick. What do you think about Mike? You think Mike will be,
Mike White?
Mike White.
I mean, probably not, if I had to guess.
I don't know. I think he digs being a Survivor.
He was on The Amazing Race, so yeah, you never know.
I bet we see him.
All right, Randy, I've got a lot of questions for you from the listeners of the podcast. We will get into that. But first, I want to just take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today. Those are our friends over at Legacy Box. Legacy Box has a great offer for our listeners. They will digitize all of your family's home movies. They've got a great offer. Get 40% off your Legacy Box order when you go to legacybox.com/Rob. That's 40% off your first order at legacybox.com/Rob. Now, Randy, I bet you as a videographer have a ton of home movies of you and your family. What media do you have your home movies on? What, like a Betamax probably?
Wait, Betamax?
Yeah. Like, wasn't that the precursor to VHS?
How old do you think I am, Rob?
And don't
wiki it.
I mean, that's like what they had in the 70s, right?
That's what my parents used was Betamax.
Yeah. What did you use?
What I use now?
I don't think you make any home movies now.
Well, I have a phone, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It has speed dial and everything on it. And you can even...
Yeah,
you can even use it as a small computer. I'm sure you've heard of it.
A lot of people have older formats of movies.
I don't have Betamax. I don't even have a VHS player anymore.
Yeah, I didn't mean anything by it, Randy. I don't want to.
Well, you meant I was old. I know what you meant.
I meant the movies were old.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll just I kind of feel like we sort of lost the moment here. So I apologize to our friends over at Legacy Box. So we'll get it another time.
Yeah. You shouldn't even charge them.
No. I mean,
for this ad,
Okay.
I mean, you mentioned what they did and then you insulted me and then.
I didn't insult. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Randy, John Tinkham wants to know, were you inspired by the performance of the Jabini tribe during last night's immunity challenge? We saw them, Randy, that they were needed to overcome the adversity of carrying that heavy saucer. Jeff really gave them a pat on their back. Were you as inspired as when Donathan needed to go and swim in the water to help out James Lim?
Oh, when Donathan dove down 3 feet to get the...
Yeah. Was that equally as inspiring for you?
As well as Suri on the balance beam.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, fortunately, they didn't go too far with the scene last night. You know, they were obviously outmatched. Natalie wouldn't have helped a whole lot if she was still there. But no, I mean, you know, also they quit.
Should Jeff have done like a Suri with them and said like, all right, I know you guys can do it. We are going to wait here until you guys finish the challenge, because I know that you guys then will then take this with you.
As much as I'm loving this season right now, I swear to God, I would have quit watching if they'd done that.
They did quit. I mean, Jeff tried to sugarcoat it.
And they should have quit. They should have quit long before they did. You know, they knew who they were. You know, Mike and Nick knew that they were safe. And they should have quit. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have even started looking at, you know, who was in the tribe. They should have just conceded.
Yeah.
That would have made for great TV. Just, you know, Jeff handing out the first and second place idols and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This was a rough challenge for them because this is a challenge that really involved like physical strength. And I want to give kudos to the challenge team because that was a really fun challenge to watch. They just got unlucky that one team was really bad at it.
It was kind of weird, you know, because that saucer looked, you know, awkward and
yeah, it was a creative challenge design because it was heavy and shallow. It's like a bird bath.
Yeah. And you know, it's when you see blowouts like that, you know, not even blowouts, you know, when teams quit, but still Jeff gets so excited. It's just kind of like. You know, relax, Jeff, relax. You know, the players are calm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Randy, last week we saw the survivors evacuated from their beach because of the cyclone. Now, I know you guys in Heroes versus Villains went through some absolutely terrible weather in the start of the game. A lot of it we didn't even end up seeing on the show. Are you against Survivor evacuating the contestants, or do you think that they should do it more?
You know, I wasn't there. I don't know how bad it was.
What about in season 20?
Season 20, we didn't have any of the winds that they apparently had. We had, it was cold, and I've never seen it rain like that, but nothing was...
You weren't in danger.
Nothing was... Nobody's safety was in danger, and you know... In pregame or somewhere, you know, Jeff or somebody says that they've done this two or three times before where they bring them tarp. And I've told this story before. They brought us a tarp. They brought us dry wood.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, I've told the story before about, you know, Tyson stealing the gas and
mm-hmm. yeah.
us blowing up the beach and mm-hmm. the whole island of Samoa smelled like an oil refinery.
Right.
I'm not going to tell that story again. They helped us. You know, they showed Boston Rob with help starting the fire on day one. And, mm-hmm. you know, they dissolved that into a fire that we had on day seven
mm-hmm.
Because we did not get fire. Boston Rob did not get fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not listening. So.
You never know, Randy. Nick Fishman says, what's the best approach to a tribe that is lacking a challenge prowess when on a losing streak?
What's the best?
You're a tribe. You're in a tailspin. What do you do?
You do exactly what Mike and Nick did, was get their ducks in a row and line up people in front, just like we did in Fong and Gabon.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to keep, and I haven't brought up Gabon all that much for this podcast, but you know, that's what we did. When I saw that I was in a tribe of not only mentally challenged, but physically challenged tribe, you know, I knew if we'd stayed apart, I was going to pull us Stephanie LaGrossa and be the only one left.
yes.
And I mean, I'm saying that tongue in cheek, but I'm absolutely serious.
Mm-hmm.
It would have happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what you do. You you play the game before you lose immunity because you know you're going to lose immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you and if they weren't going to merge and then if they were going to lose again, I feel, you know, 95% sure that Angelina would be next.
That seems like unless that we would see Mike completely turn on Nick, I feel like it would be, you know, 100% chance that probably Angelina would have been next.
Yeah, because I think Mike totally buys the rock stars and Nick too. But Nick also buys, you know, some of his other bonds that he's made.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mason Dixon and whatever else he's got going on.
Yeah. This is an email question that we got from Drew. If the Green Tribe went to a tribal council in this episode, do you think that Christian would have stuck with his roots and voted with Gabby, or would he have gone with the Brochachos, Randy?
I hate to say it. I think he would go with the Brochachos just because you can see he is, and maybe it's wrong, but they're portraying it like he's never had relationships like this before. I'm sure he has, but not with the cool kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's sitting at the big table now in the lunchroom of the high school, mm-hmm. with the captain of the football team, you know, the captain of the baseball team, you know, the homecoming king, and he's, you know, and he's loving it. And all he's getting out of the Gabby relationship is another nerd likes him.
Do you think it would be heartbreaking for Christian that, let's say at the merge, that those guys ended up voting against him? Do you think that we would then see, you know, a confessional where he's talking about how he's heartbroken and sort of like the she's all that moment where these guys, they just pretended to be nice to me, and now I'm back to being a David just like before?
As I would love to see that so much. I would love to see that so much. But as I said earlier, he's getting the Cochran edit and it's not going to happen.
yeah,
this is about growth, and whether it lasts one more episode or eight more episodes, that's what we're going to see. We're not going to see John and Dan flip on him and make fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this, we saw this in Pearl Islands with Sean and who was Sean's friend? Johnny Fairplay's friend.
Burton.
Shoot. He's a good friend of mine. I'm just getting old. You know that. I've got Betamax tapes. Burton and Sean pointing at Rupert's crack and making fun of him. You know, but Rupert was the precursor to the modern day Cochran character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rupert wasn't full on nerd. He was, he was something different. He was an alien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of. And I don't want to say outcast because that there literally were outcasts in Survivor Pearl Islands, but sort of like the person that didn't fit in, who was sort of being, you know, I'm not a pun, but the butt of the joke.
I'm just thinking about this for the first time right now. What happened with Rupert, and, you know, they get him off in a confessional and they'd play the sad music and he'd be talking about being bullied. And, you know, what has happened? We've seen the Rupert character evolve over the years into the full blown Cochran character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm predicting Christian comes back for like season 42 and wins.
Well, let me say this, that I feel like that Cochran was a little like tongue in cheek about when he was talking about with like, I'm with Eddie and Reynolds, you know, and those weren't even his allies, but you know, he sort of like when he would win immunity, he would sort of like strut around and like wear coach's jacket. But I think that he was
punch his fists.
Yeah. But I feel like that he was sort of like,
making fun of himself.
Yeah. He knew that it was funny and he never, but I don't think that Cochran ever, in a confessional, talked about how, hey, I've been bullied all my life. Like Cochran, he just doesn't have like I don't think we ever got a confessional with Cochran with the sad music talking about what it's like to be Cochran and to have been bullied or to have been somebody who doesn't fit in.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like, I don't think he just doesn't have that gear. And I don't know exactly whether it's like empathy or what, but
and Christian hasn't either. Mm-hmm. It's just, he's obviously so thrilled by being with the cool kids. You've got to infer that there has been bullying and there has been mm-hmm. ostracizing.
Well, according to Jeff, that was the reason why Christian is even on the David tribe.
Is why?
Because I think that people said, well, isn't he like an accomplished robot scientist? But it's like, I think that Jeff said in the first one, but he's been bullied. That's why he's an underdog, even though he's at the top of his field.
Well, maybe they started this game with 20 people.
20.
Well, maybe they had 11 Goliaths and 9 Davids. And they wanted to keep them all, so they said, "Hey, you're now a David." You know, and they couldn't put the mayor of Slamtown on the Davids.
Yeah. Randy, there's a question from Mo Saunders. What's who's Randy's winner pick? Now, I know you talked about how you feel like that Dr. Allison will win, but that was not your original winner pick, correct?
Correct.
Who was it?
My original winner pick was Natalia.
Yes. Why? What did you see in Natalia?
And that was based purely on Wiggler's first one out, mm-hmm. all the interviews he did. And I just thought she sounded level-headed and had a good plan.
Yeah. Okay. And then you changed your vote, your pick after Natalia got voted out, correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
And I changed it to Carl because he'd just been to Exile Island and came back. And I think when I was tweeting that, Carl was the first and only name I heard come out of the TV. So I changed it to Carl.
Okay.
And Carl's going to be, he's going to be top six probably.
Okay, he's right there.
I don't think he'll win, but
okay. Let me ask you this question. This is from Kristen Call, who says, first, Randy's live tweets about Survivor are amazing. Has CBS contacted him about taking over their account? Randy, has CBS contacted you to take over the Survivor Instagram account?
No, CBS has not contacted me since I don't know. Probably to tell me when my plane to go home from the Heroes Villains
that was the last contact you've had.
I probably was. And thank you for the compliment about my tweets. You know, I try.
But would you? Are you open to taking over the Survivor Instagram account?
And I know that, you know, there's no way he could be serious because half my tweets I'm making fun of. I'm saying things that, let's just say, I don't pander to CBS.
Well, I don't think you need to pander to them. I think they just want to see like what your ritual is watching the show and what your reactions are as you're watching.
Yeah, I take the job, okay. But it'll never happen.
Okay. Also, Kristen wanted to know, can you weigh in on the Elizabeth Bamboo drama? So we saw Elizabeth that she had a bad back. She was trying to sleep on the bamboo, and some of the guys were getting upset that she was taking the shelter apart and making too much noise. Did you think that she was in the wrong, Randy?
We talked about this a little bit before, and that stuff is just horribly uncomfortable to sleep on. It's like a bed of nails. In Gabon, we slept on the dirt, and it was great. Samoa and Heroes Villains, we slept on that bamboo, and it's awful. She wasn't out of line working on the bamboo, but she was out of line giving everybody that stupid story about her back.
Why is it a stupid story?
You don't care when you're out there. You know, you don't care about anybody's back. I mean, you can pretend to care if it's going to get somebody's vote.
Yeah.
And you know, they didn't even seem to pretend to care. You know, I love any survival type show. I watch Naked and Afraid. I watch, you know, whatever they have at their Dual Survivor.
Would you do Naked and Afraid, Randy?
I don't know now. I might have a few years ago.
What, you're too modest?
Too old.
Too old.
You know that better than anybody. You know, Naked and Afraid, you don't throw a hoop onto a stick and win pizzas.
Yeah, that's real.
Naked and Afraid is real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Survivor's real, but they're, you know, they're not going to.
So you watched that a lot, Naked and Afraid, right?
Oh, yeah, it's a great show.
Did the contestants, and it's always a man and a woman, right?
Yes.
Now, did the contestants ever hit it off romantically? Did that ever happen in, 3,000 times that they've run Naked and Afraid now?
There's been some flirting. I don't think there's ever been a hookup. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the show is cast just like Survivor is for drama. So they're going to cast two people that are probably going to hate each other.
Yeah, but you kind of figured that maybe one time they would hit it off.
There's been some odd couples that have.
Because every time I've ever watched it, the two people hate each other by the end. So I just wonder if one time maybe they got along.
There was a straight guy and a gay female one time, and they got along great. Okay. There was an old guy, and there was a 55-year-old guy.
Yeah.
And a 25-year-old. She was also a lesbian, and mm-hmm. they got along great.
So I wonder if you take any sort of potential attraction out of the mix, and maybe that's what it takes for them to get along.
Maybe so.
I don't know. I will save that for our Naked and Afraid wrap up. Do you want to host that, Randy?
Yeah, I'll do it. What the hell?
Okay, Randy's week. You would host a weekly podcast about Naked and Afraid?
Yeah, I sure would.
And you would wear clothes to do it, right?
Yeah, well, it'd be audio only, of course, so I might just be in underwear.
It would be theater of the mind.
Yeah, and I've got a 3-time Naked and Afraid alumni that can co-host it with me.
All right, mate, should we do a pilot of that show?
Let's do it. Okay. I mean, I know you're joking and I'm joking too, but I bet you it would get a lot of it listeners.
I mean, I don't know if people would, you know, be there for it week after week after week. Because, I mean, that's my thing with it. I feel like you watch that show once, you've seen them all. Am I wrong?
Well, if you watch that show 3 times, you've mm-hmm. seen them all.
Yeah.
Because they either both make it,
or it goes one quits, horribly wrong, right?
Or one quits, or the other one quits. So,
I mean, that's why I like I like these shows like Survivor and Big Brother, where it's sort of like sometimes it can be repetitive, but then sometimes it could be very different time after time after time, and there's more of a story.
Even Survivor and Big Brother are very guilty of not reinventing the wheel. Mm-hmm. Of course they do a lot to keep things fresh, but I mean, we talked about this earlier. We see the same character year after year after year, except for me. They've never brought another Randy on.
Right.
They've also never cast anybody named Randy.
Mm-hmm. You broke the name. Yeah.
Which I find amazing.
There's a lot of Randys out there.
A lot of them. And it's,
yeah,
have to get somebody to figure out the odds of that happening. I mean, there's probably been what? 8 or 9 Robs?
There haven't been too many recently.
I can think of 4 just like that. But
there was me, Boston Rob, Skater Rob, and the General, like all in a row. And then
do you count Robert Crowley?
I don't. I mean, I think that he goes by Bob.
Right.
You know, there was
as well as other things.
Yeah. There was. Bob Dog and, Bobby John, and there's been, Bobs, but, there hasn't been a lot of Robs since then. It was like all in a row. I think Boston Rob had that in his contract, that they don't cast any more Robs than after Survivor All-Stars.
Probably.
That was a rider he had. Let's see. Also, more questions for Randy. Will A wants to know.
Will Wall?
No, not Will Wall. He doesn't send them questions. Will A wants to know, what does Randy think about naming alliances?
You know, as stupid as I thought it was at first, it's kind of working.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were in the Onion Alliance, right?
Yes. But we didn't name it. You know, Marcus was using a analogy. Mm-hmm. Comparing our alliance to layers of an onion, and somebody on Reddit or somewhere, just started calling us the Onion Alliance.
Yeah.
And they were the Onion Alliance before I was in the Onion Alliance.
Okay.
I was over on the other Moron Alliance. That's what I should have.
Like, you could have done a confessional. Hey, this is the new alliance. I call this the Moron Alliance. Could have sold t-shirts. Caleb Daughtry wants to know, what would Randy say to Dan if he offered him a spot in the Brochachos? Would you fancy yourself a Brochacho, Randy?
If Dan offered me a spot?
Yeah.
Tell you what, he can offer me his spot when he leaves in a week or two.
You could fill in?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I think I don't think I'd fit in real well with every except for the mayor.
Why, you and John Morrison would get along well?
I think we would. I think we would.
Yeah, why?
He seems I don't know. I just, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why I feel that, but
you're just simpatico.
Yeah, that's yeah. And you know, Christian and Dan, I'm not feeling that much, you know. I'm not sure Dan is. It's great you lost the 120 pounds or whatever, but did you ever think of not getting fat in the first place? You know,
hindsight is 20/20, Randy.
Well, I've weighed between 165 and 175 since I've been 22.
Yeah.
If I hit 175, I say I need to.
Yeah, well, not everybody, you know, is, you know, different circumstances for everybody. This is a touchy subject, Randy.
What, did you used to be huge?
Randy, talk to me about Slamtown.
What?
I'm going to hang up on you. Randy, talk to me about Slamtown.
Well, you look great anyway.
Thank you, Randy.
The what of Slamtown?
But what do you think about Slamtown? Are you fascinated by the idea?
It's, you know, we've heard enough of Slamtown. and it, you know, as much as I like John, you know, this comptroller's crap, and it's, you know, it's, and I used to get into this with Coach, but before we were friends before Heroes Villains, and we were talking a lot, and he was. He would call me and he would go over nicknames that he had for everybody on Heroes Villains. And, you know, and I'd say, you know, let's worry about winning the game or getting deep in the game.
Right.
And not worry so much about being entertaining, because that doesn't interest me at all compared to $1 million.
Yeah.
But so. Yes.
Well, I was with Coach in Reno last week. I was with Coach and Tyson and Rob, three of your tribe mates from Survivor Heroes versus Villains. And Coach had said that he wished he spent more time either pre-gaming or trying to win the game rather than studying quotes from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, Coach is... He gets that from me.
No, you got him to see the light.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I agree with him. I wish he had spent more time too. I couldn't agree with anybody more. It's
right.
Oh my God.
But should somebody do that the first time they play? Should somebody come out there with a lot of shtick the first time they play so they get cast a second time, and then they could worry about trying to win the game the second time?
I never planned one thing I was going to say either time that I played.
Yeah.
When I said this vote is not strategic, it's strictly personal. Mm-hmm. That popped into my head 3 seconds before I said it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if people want to think of stuff to get on the air, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not for me. It's not for me.
Okay. Randy, Jen Manning said, Randy, I love you so much. Today I became a teacher for daycare. How is substitute teaching going?
Substitute teaching is going.
Now, are you still a substitute or are you a regular teacher now?
Yeah, let's spend 2 minutes on this because I got to tell you what happened. I've been working on getting my certification in Texas because it's a little easier to make the transition than where I live now, which is Kansas. Mm-hmm. I passed my certification test and in like late July and applied for a few jobs and got 2 job offers within days of passing my test. You know, there's such a teacher shortage, obviously, because they want to hire me. And it was so spur of the moment. Both jobs were like, we need you to start yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think things were going to happen so fast. Right. And I just could not wrap my brain around breaking my lease and picking up and moving and being a teacher tomorrow and having my own class. So I turned both jobs down. So to answer your question, I'm enjoying substituting in Kansas still.
Mm-hmm.
And I am planning to make the move again, either for second semester starting the 1st of January or during the summer for next school year, where I will be a full-fledged teacher.
Okay.
So.
All right. So in the fall or in the start of
or second semester.
Okay. Second semester. Okay. So congratulations on that. Randy, how does the title The Principal of Slamtown sound to you?
You know, I'm starting to like Slamtown a little more now. Okay. That's got a nice ring to it.
And then you work your way up, superintendent of Slamtown.
No, I like the principal.
Okay. Randy, I have a voicemail question for you. This is a question for you.
Wait, I thought this was the recap show.
Yeah, this is the recap. We're doing it on Thursday, but somebody called in with a voicemail for you.
Okay, as long as you didn't dupe me into doing the voicemail.
No, everybody knows that this is the recap podcast.
As long as it's the real thing, yeah. Recap.
No, you're good.
Hey, Rob and Randy, I'm just calling into the feedback show because I'm really interested in hearing Randy's take on those big saucers of water. Do you think like Mike White really blew it when he like couldn't hold it for that long? And then should all survivors be prepared to be able to hold big saucers of water? Thank you.
We talked about that a little bit before.
Mm-hmm.
They could run that challenge 100 times and they're going to lose 100 times. You know, it wasn't Mike White's fault. It wasn't anybody's fault. It was just, they were just outmatched.
Yeah. Do you like this Mike White, Randy?
I'm hot and cold on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of ambivalent about rich people playing Survivor. You know, I'm not, you know, I didn't, mm-hmm. wasn't crazy about Jimmy Johnson playing
mm-hmm.
and I'm absolutely sure he's not listening to this podcast. So
are you sure?
Yeah. Jimmy Johnson cost me $1 million, by the way.
How?
Well, he was going to be on Gabon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the physical, they found his heart blockages.
Yeah.
And so they had to go to the second team to find Crowley.
Oh, so
they had sent Bob home from LA from mm-hmm. finals. They said, you're boring, you're stupid, leave.
And they didn't say it like that.
I believe they did. I believe they did.
I think so.
And
classic Randy story.
So he went home. 3 or 4 days later, Jimmy Johnson failed his physical. So they needed, you know, they needed the old guy. He older than me.
Yeah.
And
interesting. I didn't know that.
You didn't. I find that hard to believe.
It sounds familiar, but I don't remember that he was the Bob replacement. That's the part of the story that sounds like I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I.
Yeah. You give me an education. Yeah. So let me ask you about this question. This is from Simon. Simon on Twitter wants to know, ask Randy about his international Survivor watching with the whether the U.S. has stepped its game up to match these international seasons. And who would you love from the international Survivor seasons to play in a literal Survivor Worlds Apart?
Well, I think
countries apart.
I think the chances of that happening would be the odds are better if one of the international versions invited, yeah. you know, eight now, or 10.
Did you watch the Australian Russell? Survivor? Yes. And
of course.
Former tribe mate Russell Hance ended up playing.
Of course. And I figured out, I was able to put a finger on why I like Survivor New Zealand and Survivor Australia. I'm about ready to watch South Africa. I haven't mm-hmm. yet. I've watched a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Why I like that better. I'm, you know, watching the American version, it just, I've got kind of a case of PTSD. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of survivors say that. And with when I watch Australia, I'm not watching Probst. When I'm watching New Zealand, I'm not watching, you know, it's just more stress free for me. And that's so why I enjoy
if
it.
If I can try to extrapolate on that. So you're saying that so there's too many things about the U.S. Survivor that you see. And that's just like you're seeing red when you watch those things. But the international Survivor seasons, you can enjoy what you love about Survivor without having any of the things that bother you about Survivor.
Exactly.
OK, that's interesting.
Exactly.
Because I know you do love Survivor.
I do. You know, you always hear a Boston Rob interview with, I respect the game too much. Or everybody says how much they respect the game. I don't understand that. I have absolutely no respect for the game whatsoever. you know, how a Susie can vote off a Marcus, that's a horrible game.
Yeah.
Why do you
keep coming back? Why do you keep watching it?
You can say things like I enjoy the game. I'm entertained by the game. Mm-hmm. I love the show. But you cannot say I respect this game because it's so unfair.
Do you agree with your former tribe mate, Russell Hance, that the game is flawed?
it is now, but not for the reason he thinks it is.
Mm hmm.
If that makes any sense, maybe I shouldn't talk too much about that.
Well, that if
the game has been bastardized with half a dozen immunity idols,
too many,
and crazy stuff, and mm-hmm. That's the flaw. But I get it. They're trying to keep it fresh. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get new viewers. But it's not flawed because he got second place to Natalie White. That's one of the that's one of the few good things about it. That's one thing that's right about the game.
Well, what could they do about the game where Susie can outlast Marcus? Is there a fix that they could do?
No, the game is supposed to be that, and it's you know we see that every season or every mm-hmm. other season. We saw it when Lil got rid of Andrew Savage. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, if Susie can't outlast Marcus, if Lil can't outlast Andrew Savage, then, you know, why watch the show? Then wouldn't it just be very predictable?
Exactly. And that is, but you can't respect the game. The game deserves no respect.
Have you ever missed a season? Have you watched every single season of U.S. Survivor?
I have.
Have you watched every single episode?
I have.
So there's never been a time where you're so frustrated with the way the season is going that you check out?
I have not.
That's interesting.
Yeah, even when a few years ago, I'd grown really, really, really sour on the mm-hmm. whole thing. Even then, I watched.
How many U.S. Survivor players do you think have seen every single episode of 37 seasons?
Probably 50.
I bet it's less than 20, and it might be less than 10.
I know you and I have.
Yeah,
I know. I know Nick on this season probably has. I know.
And I would say if the number is between 10 and 20, I would say outside of me and you, then I would say, you know, somewhere between, 80 to 85% of them have also played in the last like three seasons.
You have just succeeded in making me feel like the biggest loser. Yeah, I got to go. I got to go in a minute. I've got a game of Dungeons and Dragons that I'm going
to
play.
And I didn't even, Randy, I mean, I've had to go back and watch a lot of them. You know, I didn't. There was a point in the middles. Your season. I only watched the first half when it was on.
That's when you were in your burnout stage.
I had to double back and get some of them.
And here's another question along those lines. How many survivors of the roughly 500 do you think you could come up with their names? You could probably get all but 20.
Yeah. There's probably
because of your rewatches and stuff.
Yeah. I think if you how are we doing this? Are you showing me the picture? Or are we going like season by season? Because I've wanted to do something like this. Like, I thought it'd be funny if it's like, you know, like to try to do it and like give you like a like go through every single tribe in the show's history. And then for every person I miss, like do a shot of beer and to see how far I could get through the whole thing. And
I'd be unconscious before we got to Africa.
Would I just be, you know, passed out on the floor? I don't know if it's too dangerous to do something that promotes drinking, but that was my idea that I wanted to do for a long time.
I think that'd be fun. I think I could name both tribes of both Borneo and Australia without missing.
Certainly. I don't think I would have a problem until I got to, you know, Guatemala. I think I'd be, you know, I'd be fine.
Yeah. Those seasons up until Palau, season 10 and earlier.
Yeah.
I bet you I could name maybe 60% of the players.
Mm-hmm.
Seasons 25 through 35, I couldn't name 20%. I couldn't name 10%.
Yeah. So you sort of just like, you know, what you watch it and then it's like, you know, in
it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Okay. All right. Maybe, you know, it's one day we come up with a fun way to do something like that. Maybe what would be less controversial? If I did a shot or if I got flogged with a cane?
let's go with the violence.
You think that would be more controversial? That'd be less controversial.
It'd be more entertaining. That would be a podcast that I could respect. No, of the 500 survivors, I bet I couldn't name 200.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could name all 18 of my season. I could name all 32 of the first two seasons and. You know, Palau.
Let's try this. Let's just throw out a random tribe and see if I could do it.
Let me go easy on you of one that I know about. Karor.
Karor. Okay, so now you throw me off with the tribe names, but that's Tom's tribe, right? So
correct.
Okay, so I would think, and was that a season? I think that was a 20-person season, but they voted off Wanda and Jonathan right off the bat. So it's 9 and 9, right? So I know that. So the men there are going to be Tom, Ian, Greg, Kobe, Willard. And then the women there are going to be Jen Lyon, Karen. We have. I'm trying to think. So I know that I see her in my head. And now
the cop.
What
wasn't it the girl that said, "I'm going to shoot her first, and then I'm going to shoot myself."
That was Helen, I think, who said that in Survivor Thailand.
No, well, you did better than I could. No. I could have gotten Ian and Tom and of course.
No, but I feel like that there had to have been, you know, Karen, Jen, and there had to be two more women. And I have to cut this part out of the podcast for looking so stupid.
No, don't cut it. Don't cut it. This is good stuff. You know, and you give me a season like San Juan del Sur,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't name one person. I mean, of course, I know several.
Yeah,
but they, you know, I don't know if they were in San Juan del Sur or whether they were in whatever Nicaragua or you know, it's all fuzzy.
Okay, all right, Randy. See, it's a good thing I'm not getting flogged right now. All right. Randy, Jessica Sterling wants to say, after so much talk of jackets and socks, what article of clothing would Randy most value on the island? Janu was there, Randy.
Right. Good. Very. What valuable.
And Katie Gallagher was.
Yeah. How can you miss her? She got second place.
Yeah, I know. I got so stuck. Sorry, Katie Gallagher.
She won't be listening. Don't worry about it.
I think she must. She checks it out sometimes.
Speaking of Palau, Lyrsa reminds me a little bit of what's her name from Palau?
Karen?
No.
Angie?
Angie.
Yes.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Who was also a good character. Anyway, back to the question, what article of clothing? You know, they put me in jeans and flip-flops. You know, the jeans were okay. They were warm, but, the stupid Hawaiian shirt that was made out of silk, that was just cold. And like everybody knows, and someone said recently on one of your podcasts, you don't get to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right. Because Angelina was getting a lot of people saying, like, you idiot. Can't believe you. Why didn't you bring a coat, you moron?
And it really is not fair because you remember Michelle, the first boot from Gabon.
Yeah, Michelle Chase.
Michelle Chase. I never knew her very well. But she got a raw deal. They put her in a skimpy little hot pants and bikini top.
Yeah.
And she, she weighed 100 pounds.
You know,
Ray,
I will say that is one of the big disadvantages where, more so if you're an attractive young woman, but also the attractive young guys often will get that also of like, hey, we need our good looking people on the season. So we can't have them in
Australia. Season two, those guys had backpacks with like 10 changes of clothes.
Yeah. Hey, look, we had a lot of clothes in the Amazon. I did not have a lot of clothes in the All-Stars, but I had a raincoat and a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we had.
Once they shipwrecked them in Pearl Islands, that was like a big turning point in the game. They're like, we like how this looks. Get everybody in there, down to nothing. This is good.
Yeah, and they've. They've kept that up. They always try to, dress people in to make them look shipwrecked, to make them look silly, actually.
Right. I do think that there is like some balancing act where, it's like if you're, Purple Kelly, then you're on the show and nobody is threatened by you. So that's good. But then you're freezing to death. And that's bad. So there's a little bit of like a, yin and yang to it.
And in my season, they put Dan and Charlie and Marcus in suits. And there's in those three that I named, there's two lawyers and a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way on day one they can come up with a lie and say, I'm an unemployed truck driver or something.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Rob was just talking about this in Reno about how, in the All-Stars, he's in a tank top. I didn't want to bring up, but I was in, long sleeves and long pants that they weren't like, hey, we got to get Cesternino out there showing some skin.
Yeah, that turned me on.
Thank you, Randy. Okay. This is a question for you from Kelly, who said, what would it take, if anything, for you to give up your jacket to someone who asked for it?
On my way out the door or just.
Yeah.
If.
Would you give anybody your jacket? I feel like you would. I feel like if it was your friend, I feel like you would give the jacket off your back.
I was just about to say, when I got voted out of Gabon and if Corinne had said.
Yeah. You would have given it to her.
I don't know. I, as much as I loved her. I would have just had to say, you bitch. I just lost $1 million.
It wasn't her fault.
I know, but all you can think of is my jacket. I can see where Natalie's coming from a little bit.
Yeah, but the Natalie and Angelina relationship is very different because I don't think that Natalie ever really embraced Angelina. I mean, she said, and again, exit interviews are not necessarily canon, but she said that she thought that Angelina was fake.
And what's going to happen in the future now, I'm afraid. I'm not afraid. It'll be fine. It'll never show it. It won't show it on TV probably. But people are going to say, if one of us leaves, let's give the other one our shirts, mm-hmm. or our coats, our hats, whatever.
Should Survivor make a rule, Randy, that once you are voted out, you cannot transfer any possession of yours to another player?
They might.
Because, I think that's the rule with the immunity idol. If you get blindsided and you have the immunity idol in your pocket, you don't get to say, hey, Corinne, I got blindsided with this. Hopefully you can use it. It's sort of like, dead and void at that point that you get voted out.
When I went to the tribal council in Heroes versus Villains where I got voted out.
Yeah.
the third tribal council, I accidentally left my buff in camp. Mm-hmm. And when I got to tribal council, you know, production said, you know, you can't,
you gotta wear a buff.
You gotta wear a buff. So they dug one out and they gave me, you know, gave me a new one. And they said, you know, don't lose this one. We don't have a whole bunch. And I said, are you effing kidding me? You know, everybody knows I'm being voted out in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So don't tell me not to lose this one. I'll do anything I want with it.
And that's why you threw it in the fire?
That's exactly why I threw it in the fire. But anyway, that's what I not telling this story for that part of the story. The part of the story is Coach told me that they went back to camp that night and mm-hmm. it was dark. And the next morning the sun rose and Coach said it was so sad because your buff was hanging on the tree where you used to mm-hmm. keep your stuff and get dressed and stuff. And production came by. You know, grabbed it up, you know, because they didn't want that in the shot.
Yeah.
So they came and.
Well, it wouldn't make sense if it's like, whose buff is that? Oh, it's Randy's buff. Well, didn't Randy throw his buff in the fire?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was. Yeah, so anyway, right. I don't know if that story was pertinent or not.
People like stuff like that. Let's see. This is a question for you, Randy. And this is one from Gene who says, who is your least favorite player this season? And would he mind sitting next to them at the reunion? I think I know the answer to this question.
Yeah, Gene knows the answer to that, yes. Too.
So all right. So Leah said, I don't want to sit next to Natalie at the reunion. Let me ask you this. Is it that bad to sit next to any particular person at the reunion? You don't really talk to the person. It's not like that this is your seat for, you know, a homeroom that you're going to be next to them for a year. You have to make all this small talk. What's the big deal? You have to sit next to somebody you don't like.
Let's see. I can't remember who I was sitting next to in Heroes versus Villains.
Well, you had to have been sitting between Stephanie, right? And yeah. Then who went out after you?
Saree.
Okay.
I loved them both.
Mm-hmm.
And
Stephanie
the same
started
thing
talking about her pizza. Also, congratulations to your next door neighbor, Stephanie LaGrossa, that she just had a baby.
Just now?
Not during the recording of this podcast, but I've seen on Facebook. Congratulations to Stephanie LaGrossa Kendrick.
Well, good for her. Yeah. Yes, Stephanie and Serena and I became close in Ponderosa. But so I've always sat next to people that I really like. In Gabon, I sat next to Charlie. And mm-hmm. I think I was on the end either. No. It was, I sat next to Charlie and Corinne.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, Lyrsa will have come to grips with things by the time the reunion show. And she'll say, you know, they may even talk about that at the reunion show. You know, I think of everybody that's been voted out now, the only one that's going to get any time at all at the reunion show is going to be Natalie. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is going to be shut out. Do you agree?
In terms of the pre-merge people?
People that have been booted up to now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, but I think that Natalie is probably the biggest character.
Pat may will probably get a question.
Maybe check in with Pat.
Right.
Pretty sure we're not going to B, Randy.
We're not what?
Pretty sure we're not going to talk to B.
No. I'm not even sure she's going to be there. She may be in the audience like Fans vs. Favorites too.
Yeah. So it's not a big deal who you sit next to at the finale.
No, and you're not. Wounds have healed pretty much by then. You're not.
I mentioned it in the opening to the podcast that I had to sit in between Richard Hatch and Sue Hawk because they didn't want them to be next to each other anymore.
Oh, so they changed the position?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never noticed that.
Well, I mean, they'd have to talk to me at the Survivor All-Stars reunion for anybody to notice. But I'm not sure if they put
talked to you, didn't they?
They did not. No, there was a million things going on that show, Randy. I mean, this was.
I thought that was back in the day where everybody got at least one question.
Not that time, because they had Robin Amber got engaged. Jerry Manthe walked off the stage, and there was a million things going on there.
I even got a question at Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I was in the back row.
I don't remember if they had Richard Hatch to my left, like I had gotten one spot further. I think I didn't mind because it seemed like I had actually gotten further along. So,
I didn't know that. That's a good piece of trivia.
Who knew? Who knew? Yeah, but maybe is that the only time they've had the contestants sit out of order?
Other than a person
not being at the finale.
Yeah, yeah. I bet it's the only time. On that.
Yeah,
I bet it's the only time.
Randy, give me another tribe. I want to make up for my failure. Give me another tribe, real quick. Put a time limit on it. I don't want to be like people that take too long in trivia.
Okay, you want recent or old?
Whatever. You try to stump me again. I failed that time.
Try to stump you or.
See, it's like on the spot. I feel like I'm cramping up. Then once we started talking about something else, then Katie and Janu came to me.
Okay, let's go with Kucha.
Oh, Kucha tribe. I mean, that's an easy one, Randy. That it's really the stuff. It's the soft underbelly that I probably have the hardest time with. The old stuff and the new stuff. I think I could do. Kucha is that's going to be. So the women are going to be Kimmy and Elizabeth and Deb and Alicia. And then the guys are going to be, the guys, it's, Nick Brown and then it's Mitch, Mitchell's Ogacor. Then it's Nick, it's Mike Scoopin, it's Jeff Varner and, Kentucky Joe.
Very good. Yeah. I couldn't have done it. I could have done it, but not that near that fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the old stuff is really, burned in my brain.
You should do this as a podcast in the off season. Just invite like
give me one that's a real test, Randy.
Well, I'm going to have to Google it real quick.
Well, you could just say one of the tribes from a season.
Okay, let's go with season. Pearl Islands would be too easy.
Probably.
One of my favorite seasons. Let's go with. The men in Vanuatu.
The men in Vanuatu. Okay, so this is tough because it's all the men. Okay, so can I write them down as I go just so I know who we're talking about?
It's your podcast.
All right, so let me see if I could do it. So the guys that were in the Fat Five was Chris, Rory, Bubba, Sarge, and was JP part of the Fat Five? Chad. No. Oh no, he wasn't. Chad was. Then it was JP, John, Kenny, Brooke, and
That's it.
It's gonna be nine, I think, right? Did I say everybody?
I thought that
JP,
was nine.
JP, John, Kenny, Brooke, and Brady. Yes.
Okay. FBI guy.
All right. I don't know if this is interesting to anybody. Okay. Randy, let's see what else is going on for Randy. How about this? This is from Joe Brochacho on Twitter. Here's Joe Brochacho.
Brochacho?
Yeah.
Brochacho, that's an interesting name. Did you just make that up?
Yes, I made that up. Joe Brochacho wants to know, Steven has the fishy, Bryce has the freakiest freak. Can Randy give us who is the grumpiest grump of the season?
That's not fair, Joe. There hadn't been anybody really grumpy except... Got to give it to Natalie.
Okay. She's grumpy.
I hate to give credence to your earlier comparison with me with her, but there hadn't been anybody else all that grumpy.
Okay. This is a question from Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. With the success of players like Beast Mode Cowboy, what other Big Brother players should make the leap to Survivor?
First, we've got to talk about Beast Mode Cowboy's success.
Yes.
What are you talking about? The guy quit once on day nine.
Well, I think he was medically evacuated. I don't think this was like a
situation. That's what they want you to believe. It's in the edit. He's a quitter.
He's a quitter. No, they thought he was dead.
Well, I'm not going to say what I was about to say.
He didn't quit. He didn't know.
He quit. No. He quit. And then he was voted out on day nine. He had no business
He did not want to go.
When they medevaced him?
Yeah, either time.
Well, who wants to go? Of course he didn't want to go.
Well, people who want to quit want to go.
That's true.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go either one of my times.
Who from Big Brother should be on Survivor next, Randy?
That is easy.
Who?
JC. I'd love to see. I'd love to see JC.
Like him.
JC?
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
No, he was great on the show. He was a dick in Vegas. And like you said, they had just gotten out of the house and they were probably suffering from PTSD.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's a lot. They go from in a house where nobody's talking to them and then there's a million people that are like, hey, can I take a selfie with you?
Yeah, and you know how even playing Survivor, it takes you weeks and weeks, if not months, to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that they could have had him in this David versus Goliath season. Randy, what would you be? Would you be a David or a Goliath? That I feel like that knowing you pretty well over the years, I feel like that you are a David.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah, that aren't you like the ultimate underdog? That I mean, I feel like that people are always underestimating you.
You know, you had to go there, didn't you, Rob?
Go where? To David versus Goliath?
Of course I would be a Goliath. Did you not watch Gabon?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think.
Did you not read my bio on CBS.com?
I mean, I definitely didn't at the time. I mean, that should I go back?
You know, I am not going to sit here and listen to this again. It's been years that you pull the same and I, you know, I'm out of here. Goodbye.
No, Randy, hold on a second. Are you still there? Randy? It's a David versus Goliath season. I've asked every single other person this question. Come on, Randy. All right, that one's on me, everybody. It's going so well. All right, everybody. There you have it. Randy Bailey. I will get to work on my handwritten apology letter once again right after this podcast is over. In the meantime, we will get ready to switch gears to our feedback show with Allie Lash. Very excited to catch up with Allie. That's going to be coming up. I'm going to record that on early evening Friday for the East Coast. So hopefully we'll have that up. If not Friday night, then by Saturday morning for everybody to check out. So hopefully you got your feedback questions in. We'll have a new Robin Akiba Need a Podcast this weekend, and then we will get our way into the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler. So get those wand-offs in by Monday morning. Of course, big thanks to the patrons of Rob as a Podcast who make all of this podcasting possible. Had a great patron cast, our monthly call that I do where people call in and talk to me about whatever they want, the Survivor season, Big Brother, and more. We did that on Tuesday night this week, about 3 hours of calls that I took. And of course, we've got our Facebook Friday, our weekly call that we do with our Facebook group as well. So if you want to find out more about that and all the other benefits of becoming a patron of Rob as a Podcast and a part of the Rob as a Podcast patron community, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. That's robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you guys so much for all of this nonsense that I put you guys through. Take care. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.